Welcome to Vision Chat's spooky series, where we talk about ghost stories and legends. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to the third episode.
Yes.
Of this series. I was wondering, Virginia, have you heard anything more about the sounds during the night?
Absolutely quiet.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you? Have you had anything happening on your end?
No, not really. The only thing, I woke up because of the wind. Yeah. So nothing new.
Okay.
That I know.
It's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
In terms of spirits, anyway, not too much going on. Well, I have one story today.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first or do you want to start off?
I have two stories, I think. So I don't know if you want to go first or be in the middle.
Why don't we do that? You start and then I'll go and then you can end.
Yeah. This is a story from when I was younger. I think I was like 10, 11. And my mom and dad took me and my sisters to go to the US because my mom was studying there when she was younger and had like a host mom and stuff like that. So we went like traveling around the US and was going to stay at her host mom for like a few nights, maybe a week, I don't remember. And my mom and dad was sleeping in the room and me and my sisters, we were sleeping in the living room. And one night, my younger sister and I woke up by a weird sound that was going on outside of the house because it was like one floor house. And it was like a weird sound that we never hear before, but it was like outside of the house, like somebody was scratching and going around the house with like claws or something. So me and my younger sister, we were like, okay, we don't know what this is. And we got so scared and we woke up our mom. And we're like, mom, yeah, you have to come here. We don't know what this sound is. And the sound just kept continuing. It was like noises outside of the house, scratching like in the walls outside of the house. And my mom too, she's told us later like she was so afraid as well, but she pretended not to be scared. But yeah, later on finding out that around this house was a lot of forest and it was very normal that bears were coming and like scratching or like making noise. So it was bears outside of the house. But we got a bit scared, even though, yeah.
So there were no ghosts. It was just bears.
Yeah, there were bears. No ghosts.
Just as scary, though.
Yeah, it was. I remember it. But yeah, it was so funny that my mom, too, she was like, I was so scared. But I pretended like nothing. So you guys wouldn't be scared.
Oh my God. Do you remember where in the U.S. you were?
New Hampshire or something like that.
I didn't know there were bears in New Hampshire.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there must be. I mean, there must be.
Yeah, there shouldn't be.
I hear more like West Coast, California or West Coast. Okay. I think the bear stories are more common. I don't know, but I could be wrong. I mean, there's probably bears up there.
I don't know. Maybe it was a ghost, but they said it was a bear. No, they have like black bears, I think, up there.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, that was the first story.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All those bears.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So my story. I wanted to tell you, do you remember last episode? I think it was last episode. We were talking about one of my stories was Resurrection Mary, the lady on the road.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. So, and then you remembered something about a show called Supernatural. You were right. I looked up the story for La Llorona, which is the one I'm going to talk about today. She is the weeping woman in Mexican folklore. And this is a very popular, well-known story in Mexico and other Latin American countries. It was in fact the pilot episode in 2005 for the television series Supernatural, which ran actually like 15 seasons, which I think is crazy. It ended in November of 2020. But anyways, the story of La Llorona was the inspiration. Obviously, they changed some parts of it, but basically it was a woman who, you know, was seen on the roads, or that I think she haunted specifically men. This particular story, or this legend, is she's a woman who's wearing white, like a white dress. Typically, she has long black hair, And she's seen on the road and she's wailing. So most likely you will hear her before you see her. She's crying out because she's trying to find her kids. It's an extremely, obviously, I mean, probably not a good thing to encounter, considered a bad omen. If you hear her or see her, most likely that means that you may die or you're gonna go missing. Fun stuff. So you don't want to encounter this entity. She has different origins. So there are a couple of different stories. There's different variations about like how this being came to be so popular. And the story is a pretty old one. It has to do with the times when the Spanish came to Mexico to colonize. And, you know, according to that story, there's a very popular figure called La Malinche, who I think the best comparison that you can find is, I guess she's like the Mexican version of Pocahontas. Have you heard of Pocahontas, Dina?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
The Disney movies, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a Mexican version of this. Her name is La Malinche. And according to history, so this is historical. She served as translator between the Spanish that had arrived from Europe to the indigenous peoples in Mexico. So according to legend, she became romantically involved with the famous conquistador, Hernan Cortes, who is like the John Smith. And they fell in love. They had children. And, you know, the story goes that, unfortunately, their union was not recognized. And so she was replaced by a highborn Spanish wife, married by church. In La Malinche's like act of despair and rage and vengeance, she kills her children and herself. And then she becomes this entity. The other one is somewhat similar to that. This just has to do with a Spanish nobleman or someone who is of higher class who falls in love with a low class or a peasant girl. And what happens is that they have this romance and they're very happy together. They have children and, you know, they go on like this for some time, but the parents of the young man are not happy about this. They don't recognize their union. They don't even recognize their grandchildren. And over time, they keep pressuring him to leave her and marry someone who is of his class and somebody suitable so that they can have grandchildren that they recognize. The story goes is that he gives in to his parents' demands. He agrees to marry this other woman. And it's so dramatic. They're at the altar. This girl comes in and she's got her shawl and veil. And she stands in the back of the church while the ceremony is going on. And she's watching her beloved marry somebody else. And after the ceremony, it's said that she goes home. And in her, you know, despair, she takes her children out by a pond and she drowns them. Then she drowns herself. As she passes on and tries to go to the other side, she is met by God and he asks her, "Where are your children?" And she says, "I don't know." She's ashamed. She confesses, "I don't know where they are." According to the story, God tells her, "Well, they cannot rest until you find them. So go bring them back." Well, then she spends the rest of eternity wandering around the roads trying to find her children and crying out, my children, where are you?" And it is said that as, you know, she's wandering around, she likes to take revenge on men. The legend is, like I said, very popular and it's well known and there's different versions. So I'm sure somebody out there will have a different story or a different take on it. If you guys are willing to share, you know, comment or send us an email and say, "Hey, I heard this version." The story is sometimes used as like a cautionary tale. So like for children who are misbehaving, they're told, you better behave. Otherwise, La Llorona is going to come after you and you're going to go missing. And then another one is like for kids that want to hang out like late at night. They're told, you'll come across La Llorona. You don't want to be out late at night, so you better be home on time. Another cautionary tale is as like a warning for teenage girls so that they don't become romantically involved with boys before getting married because you could wind up like La Llorona. And then the other version of this is like La Llorona's loss is compared to the falling of the indigenous cultures because of the conquest by the Spanish conquistadors. And so it's kind of used like to symbolize that loss of the indigenous people. So there are many different reasons why this story happens and how it's used, but it's mainly used to like scare people, basically. So that's the legend of La Llorona.
Yeah, that's so interesting and nice to like hear like different side of the story. It's not a nice story, but yeah. It reminds me when you said like cautionary tale. There was a TV show when I was a kid. I think it was called Cautionary Tales.
Okay.
And it was like a cartoon, but it was about if children misbehaved, what will happen to you? And it kind of just like stuck into you, like if you're too spoiled, then this and this will happen because you'll get karma or like something is coming to punish you in a way. It was creepy, but also like interesting. I remember that.
And you still remember, so it worked.
Yeah. So the next story that I have today to share is from when I was a kid as well. I think I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old, maybe younger too, I don't remember. But my family and some other family, there were two different families within my family. We were on a trip to Sweden, and my parents and my grandparents and my uncle and aunt, they were like renting this house in Sweden for all of us to stay in. And I think we were like 10 children around the house as well. And we were like exploring this house. It was like a white big house, like a summer house, but you can see the white painting was like peeling off, and it was very out in country or very remote. So there were like a farmer that was living a few minutes away, but that was like the closest neighbor. And around this house, it was like a lot of woods, very twilight kind of mood around the area. And since we were children, we were like, oh, we want to explore this house, like this is so interesting. And it was a lot of different doors that was like smaller than regular doors, and some places were locked off in this house, but I don't know why, but we managed to find some type of key. So we got into like a small room with like bowls of like different knives for taking up letters, like a knife for that, and like small knife, and one bowl with like a lot of different keys. And then was like very crowded in the room, like a room you put everything in kind of. And then the one bowl with like a lot of money, it was like very weird, the whole thing. And we were not allowed to be in that room, so we did not say anything to our parents about that. And the other children, they were, my younger sister were the only one that was younger than me, and the other children, they were like 3 years maybe more older than me. And they told us that this was a room for a man that was living here, or he wasn't living here, but sometimes he was coming here into the room or the whole house really. But he was living outside in the woods, and he was jumping from like one tree to another, like, you know, in the Twilight movies. And he was haunting the place. So that is the story. I have no idea. I don't think it's true. I think my uncle that was making that up to scare us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But what did it have to do with the knives? Did he use them?
Yeah, I guess that he was coming in there to like use the stuff that was in this room. And then he will like vanish into the woods again.
Yeah. Well, just the image of him jumping from tree to tree and from place to place, that's scary.
Yeah. And also at night too, I think it was like some trees that was close to the house. So if it was windy, you can kind of hear it like hitting off on the house or the windows. So I remember I was petrified. But yeah.
Well, if your uncle made it up, that's a good one.
I think
he made it up. All the kids.
Yeah, but it was one of the kids that was my uncle. I know that doesn't make any sense, but the older children, they made up this story, I think.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, sneaky.
Yeah. So that was my story.
Now as an adult, like, have you gone back?
To the house we lived in?
Uh-huh.
I have like no idea where it is in Sweden. So I haven't really.
When you were talking, I was thinking, you know, you were asking me if there were any more updates on like hearing things at night, and no, but it reminded me right now about hearing things just like waking up or bad dreams or vivid dreams. Have you had any like vivid, scary dreams that later turned into something, or that you thought had something to do with what was happening the next day or anything like that?
The only thing I remember, but I think I told the story before, mm-hmm. but then I was awake and I was like doing my homework or some schoolwork, and then I got like a picture up in my head of my teacher having a heart attack. And then...
Yeah, I remember this one.
Yeah. So for the people today...
Yeah, tell it. Yeah, maybe it'll inspire people to go back and listen to the original story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was doing my homework and I got... This was like during the clairvoyant training. And I just got a picture of my teacher. He was having a heart attack in the classroom. And he was kind of like falling down to the floor. And I was like, okay, this is very strange. I never experienced that before. So I took a note in my book, like writing it up, because I had a feeling like, oh, I don't know what this is. And then 1 week later, or like I went to school, I was in the classroom. Everybody was kind of very quiet or very serious. And the teacher that I got the like image of, he was in the classroom too. And he was like, oh, you didn't hear. And I was like, hear what? Yeah, you know, your math teacher, he had a heart attack yesterday and passed away. And he told me in the same place as it was in the image that I got. That is what comes to mind right now. Do you have any experience about that?
Well, I remember you telling that story. Like, I think I've heard it a couple of times because it impacted you so much, you know, because it's one thing, right, when we're talking about it and we're like used to talking about these things, you and I, but like for people listening, they don't know that it's cool, but it's also traumatic sometimes and it's emotional. And I think you work through a lot of that of like, oh my god, what was this, like a premonition. But yeah, like I've had dreams, mostly dreams, or like I'm in between waking and sleeping where I either hear things or there's some kind of intense dream. But I have a lot of those. So I don't even know which one to tell. I mean, I remember one when I was a kid where I dreamt about, it was something traumatic. It was like in my dream, there were like two black cats that were chasing me and my mom and my brother. And we were all in a car that my mom used to drive. And I remember that in the dream, I looked in the rearview mirror and I could see the cats like coming after us. I'm a cat person, so I love cats. So for the feeling of fear to be in the dream was kind of like, oh wow, what was that about? Why was I scared? Then like 2 days later, something had happened in my house and like we actually had to leave. Like we wound up having to leave the house for a few days and then came back later, but it was kind of like a traumatizing event. That's all I'll say. And then another time I had a dream where like, this one was not as scary, but it was like weird because I was doing a podcast interview. It was like the first one that I ever did that one of my friends asked me to do for her show. And I think the night before the interview, I dreamt she was in my dream, but there was like this, like she was in this house, like this really big house with like three different floors. And I was trying to get into the house because I was going to go talk to her. But all along the way, I met all these people and it was like her team. And it was like an older woman who was really scary, very like, I still remember her being kind of intense and kind of being like, you're not going to see her. Like, you need to get through me before you get to talk to her. And I just remember how she was. I remember her physically, how she looked, and just like, you know, that she had someone with her, like an assistant. And it was this very like meek kind of girl. And she was just kind of like her head down. And I met all these other people who were all trying to like stop me from going to talk to her. And eventually I'm like, listen, like, get out of my way. I'm here to, I'm coming through. When I told, so I did the interview the next day. This was not in the recording for the interview because it was not part of the questions. I didn't even think of telling her about it. After the interview, after we stopped recording, I said, hey, I had a dream and there were these people there. And she said, that was my grandmother. You met my grandmother. She's always like very protective, but she was mean, you know, like, and the girl, when her, the grandmother is deceased, and the girl that was in the dream was her, one of her cousins.
Oh,
wow. Who had unfortunately committed suicide. But she described the personality the same way, shy, a little bit meek, you know. And I was like, oh wow, okay, so those are the people that are forming part of your team that are protective of you, and they were trying to make sure I wasn't, they didn't want me to come through and talk to you for some reason. I don't know why, but it was one of those like really weird things that happened. I don't know. But then I'm also hearing things when I wake up, right? Like voices. And I think I've told this story too, probably in one of the past episodes that we've done, where I hear my daughter calling and Mom. I get up and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, what do you mean what's going on? And I'll say, you called for me. And she said, no, I didn't. That happens a lot. Or she'll hear me and she'll say, why are you telling me shh? Like, why are you telling me to be quiet? I'm like, I didn't say anything. She's like, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. I've been here the whole time. Anyways, we have a lot of that going on. And just two days ago, I had that happen again where I'm like, oh, but I didn't get up because I'm like, I know she's not here.
Oh, okay.
So I ignored it.
Yeah. I wonder if you can ask Jay Allen about that. If you're there.
Oh, I will. It is on my list of questions, actually. I think that's
nice.
Fresh in my mind because I want to ask about mimicking. I think it's what
I heard. But do that.
Yeah.
Take one of them as one of the first questions.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him about that because I've heard that it's a really, actually, really bad thing. But I'll be honest with you, I don't feel fear when I hear it. I don't know if it's because it happens so much or because I'm not picking up on anything. From what I've heard, it's mimicking is something really bad. I'll ask Jay Allen about it.
And that episode will come out in 3 weeks or something.
Yes. Stay tuned. We will have a very special episode, part two, Jay Allen Cross. Very knowledgeable man with the answers to our questions, some of our hardest questions about all things spiritual, portals, hauntings, what else? Mimicking.
Yeah, beings.
Yeah.
Different types of beings too.
Yeah.
And he
knows it all. I mean, he's a witch, describes himself as a witch, and he knows his stuff. So that'll be a really interesting conversation. Is that all we've got?
Yeah, I think so. Or I have with a dream and a place.
Ah, go for it.
I usually dream very vivid every night, and then I don't really think about the dreams. But I was dreaming one day of this kitchen, and it was blue, and it had like a counter that was like an island, and then pantry on the side, and then the stove and everything. And then the whole kitchen was like in a U shape. The floor was like of tiles. It was like white walls and stuff like that around this kitchen. I don't know why, but I got a sense in the dream I was a boy that was like 11 years old or something. But I remembered the kitchen. And then I didn't really think anything more about this dream. And when I was 14, I think, during the Christmas that year, we were traveling to Australia to see my sister because she was there 1 year abroad. And then we rented this house. And when we came in, it was like completely similar kitchen that was in the dream. And I asked a friend's mom because she was a little alternative about that. And she was like, yeah, it's probably one of your past lives from Australia or something. Maybe in the kitchen too, you never know. So that was so weird and so crazy. And then I think like, oh, maybe they think I'm insane. It's like, oh, I know this kitchen, I know. Yeah.
But wow, that's wild.
Yeah, that's creepy, but also a bit cool.
It is cool though. Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, there's sometimes I get like, oh, I dreamed about this place. Or this, but there's no connection to the dream. Or that I get like deja vu and I'm like, oh my god, something terrible is gonna happen. But the two other times when I've been thinking that lately, it was good, it was fine. So
cool stories.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for sharing your stories. It's very interesting.
Thanks to everyone for listening, and until next time, if you like the spooky series, please give us a follow and check out our website, visionofprofoundhealing.com.